heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I have a peppermint in my mouth, and it's just too good to take out right now. Anyway, you can find the resources I talk about on the broadcast on the web at equip.org, or write me at box, I'm trying to get this peppermint in the back of my mouth, at box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. On a serious note, this month, the month of October, Pakistan's Supreme Court, well, they heard the final appeal of Asia Bibi. Asia Bibi, as a Christian laborer accused of blasphemy against the Prophet Muhammad. And the alleged blasphemy occurred when Asia drank some water from a well during a very hot day of picking fruit. So a Muslim woman says to Asia, don't drink from that well. Why? Because a Christian drinking water from the well will make the water unclean. And so she warned Asia, saying, don't drink that water. It's haram. It is forbidden. If you drink it, we can't drink it. And then several others chimed in, calling Asia a filthy Christian, and then telling her to convert to Islam. Well, Asia was undaunted. She responded by not only telling them that she wouldn't convert, but telling them that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of humanity, and then asking them what their prophet Muhammad ever did to save or help humankind, and why should it be me, says Asia, that converts instead of you? Well, the response was predictable. One woman spat on Asia, another shoved her, and then she was accused of blasphemy with the consequence of being put to death. Well, that's what's happening in Pakistan at the moment. But in America, we are riding the crest of what the Washington Post dubbed a Muslim blue wave. More than 90 American Muslims are running for public office across the country, and they're running for a wide variety of offices, ranging from local school boards to the U.S. Senate. And some are making their Muslim identity and their commitment to Muhammad central to their campaigns. And the Council on American Islamic Relations and the Arab American Institute have spent years training young political activists, tracking rising politicians and running get-out-the-vote campaigns. But above everything else, they are positing Islam as a religion of peace and tolerance. And of course, sainting Muhammad is an icon of virtue and beauty. Nothing, of course, could be further from the truth. As I've written about in Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion, Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of law that mandate violence against the infidel. Moreover, Islam is not a religion in the sanitized Western sense. It is an all-encompassing socio-political legal matrix that has bred a worldview antagonistic to anything but itself. Now, there may be tolerant Muslims, but Islam is clearly not a tolerant religion. When Asia compared Muhammad with Christ, she did so advisedly, and I think quite wisely. Muhammad founded the world's fastest growing religio-political cult, and he brutally subjected the Arabian Peninsula to tyrannical terror. And in the greatest of his conquests, he had a Jewish man beheaded. He took his wife as booty. He had her beautified, and then he forced on her his bed. And he went on to promise his men either earthly goods or an eternity in the graces of the Huris. And then scarcely 3 years after he had slaughtered the Jews of Khaybar, well, he died in the arms of a woman that he had married at age 6. In fact, consummated the marriage at age 9. 2 years after his death, the carnage continues. You have Muslim hordes massacring multiple thousands of Christians in Syria. A year later, they massacre monks in the monasteries of Mesopotamia. And for the next 300 years, Islamic imperialists succeeded in subjugating two-thirds of the Christian world. That includes Palestine, where, of course, Christ was born, Egypt, where monasticism was birthed, and Asia Minor, where the early Christian church first flourished. And today the mayhem continues. Question Muhammad, and Pakistan's Supreme Court may well decide to stone you to death. And of course, as I've mentioned on the Bible Answer Man broadcast frequently, we're in for a tremendous amount of persecution in the West, but that persecution is already taking place in the East, where you have the birthplace of Christianity facing mass genocide from Muslim hordes. And then what we ought to do, as Asia wisely did, is compare the life of Muhammad with the life of Jesus Christ. How different. Christ elevated females to ontological equality with men. He taught all of his followers the principles of a kingdom that would never end. He commanded devotees to love their enemies, to pray for those who persecuted them. He instructed adherents to turn the other cheek, to be peacemakers rather than makers of war. And when a disciple dared to strike a soldier with his sword, Jesus said, "Put that sword in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword." And of course, our Lord defended the downtrodden. He condemned the self-righteous. Above all, he set the ultimate moral example by dying so others might live. One religion advances by the sword. The other, according to the example of Jesus Christ, must always advance by word. The quote of the day, and at the other side of the break, we'll go to your calls. The quote of the day comes from Muhammad himself, who said, "I have been ordered by Allah to fight against the people until they testify that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's apostle, and offer the prayers perfectly and give the obligatory charity. So if they perform that, then they will save their lives and property from me, except for Islamic laws, and then their reckoning accounts will be done by Allah. I have been ordered by Allah to fight against the people until they testify that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and Muhammad is Allah's apostle." How different the Christian ethic. And by the way, this quote comes from Sahih al-Bukhari. It is Volume 1, Book 2, Number 25, next to the Quran, one of the most trusted sources of the sayings of Muhammad within Sunni Islam. So it certainly isn't a text out of context, as the Muslims are wont to do. We're coming up to station break. On the other side of the break, your calls, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Do you remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you? You can give on the web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org, or as mentioned earlier, write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Easier to say without the peppermint in my mouth. We'll be right back.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Thank you.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I'll be taking your calls right now, but on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I will not be taking any calls. A special edition of the broadcast on Halloween with a apologetic titan, Gretchen Passantino. It is a blast from the past. Gretchen has gone on to be with the Lord, but her words were powerful as she spoke them in the studios of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Lance, first up today in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Lance.
Hi there, Hank. So I came to saving faith about 25 years ago, largely because of your ministry, and I was on fire, really into the Word, served as an apologist. But over the years, I've come to feel that theology tends to divide people, and whereas mission work tends to unite them. And so over the past few years, I've kind of gotten away from reading Scripture and being an apologist and spent most of my time just, doing corporal works of, mercy and help and mission work, and because I find that seems to be more practical. Yet I have this nagging feeling that I need to get back to Scripture, and my question is, how do I get the reset button?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's important, I'm going to be talking about this more and more in the weeks and months to come after my new book is finished. It's called Truth Matters, Life Matters More. There is a sense in which we need to have right doctrine. The map, however, is not the territory. The map points to the territory. To use another analogy, the menu is not the meal. The menu points to the meal. And so we need to have a dynamic, life-altering experience with the living Lord of the universe. Christ came to give us life and to give us life that is life to the full. So, I have for many years of my life focused on correct doctrine. And rightly so, but you have to experience, taste, and see that the Lord is good. And I think that's really part of hitting the reset button. But, ultimately, there's nothing that, supplants the scrupulous intoxication of the biblical words, not necessarily to look in them for proof texting to cross a T or dot an I, but rather to experience the living God as he speaks to us in the God-breathed word. You have to remember that the writers of Scripture were very much alive when they wrote those words. So you're interacting with someone who is alive, inspired by the Holy Spirit. You're interacting with both man and God in reading Scripture. And I think that perspective alone sometimes changes how we view getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God into us. And the same thing is true with respect to prayer. It's not obligatory. It is communion with the living God. And so we have to practice the principles of prayer just as we have to practice reading the Bible and absorbing the energies of God as we partake of sacrament and word. And when I add the word sacrament, I'm talking about when you partake of the Eucharist. Eucharist, of course, means thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving meal. When you do that every week, you are now being imbued with the divine energies of God. You're experiencing the glory of God within your being, and that becomes transformational. So I think sometimes a shift of perspective can be very, very helpful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I hope that helps.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. And again, I'm writing about that right now, trying to finish a book project, which I think may be the most important book I've ever written. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Tim in Surrey, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Tim.
How's it going, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy your program. I try to catch it on my way home from work if I can.
Thank you.
My question is regarding a lot of false teaching that is prevalent these days with like NAR and Bethel Church and just to name like a couple. I guess my question is, I've warned some fellow believers about it, and how do I go about being effective in not winning an argument, but to kind of show them that, you know, there's some obvious heresy, and basically, you know, some of these people, they refuse to see it. And yeah, like what's your take on that?
Well, I think the issue comes down to words. There's nothing really wrong with using the word prophet or apostle. The real problem is the meaning that is ascribed to those words. So apostle may be used in the sense of a church planter or a missionary or a pastor of pastors. And prophet may be used in the sense of a leader who inspires the church with vision for a mission or challenges the church to a deeper commitment to Christ. However, these words should never be used in the way the new Apostolic Reformation is using the words. They shouldn't be used in a synonymous sense with first century Apostle John or Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, because these are people whose authority cannot be questioned. So here you have people who are taking on the same status as the biblical apostles and prophets, which there's a temerity there, a reckless boldness that is hard to conceive of. Also, they're saying that their authority, just like those prophets and apostles, cannot be questioned. And of course, they're receiving new doctrinal revelations. So instead of being perpetuatory, in other words, perpetuating the faith once for all delivered to the saints, they're coming up with new revelations, kind of like what the Catholic Church does when the Pope speaks ex cathedra or from the chair and comes up with limbo or purgatory. So the Bible teaches that the apostles and prophets were commissioned by God to be his personal spokespersons, his spokesmen. And if you read Ephesians 2, you find that the church was built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, and that Christ himself is designated as the chief cornerstone. So clearly, those who claim to be that kind of apostle and prophet today have taken upon themselves authority that was not given to them by God. And they don't meet the test of a prophet that you'll find in Deuteronomy 13 and 18 or Acts chapter 1. And so what you end up having is people who are mouthing empty, boastful words, appealing to the lustful desires of the sinful human nature, enticing people who are escaping from those who live in error and promising freedom when they themselves are slaves of depravity and pride, I might add.
Yeah.
So
okay,
that,
yeah. In terms of like when I try to approach these topics, you know, I try to do so respectfully, obviously, and out of love. But it's quite common to be accused of, you know, judging and you know, saying that, oh, you know, that you don't know how the Holy Spirit moves with different people, and you're calling it weird, but that's just your opinion. It's very difficult to kind of.
Well, make sure when they say, when they accuse you of judging, make sure that you make the distinction between what you're called to do, which is to judge, John chapter 7,
yeah,
and judging self-righteously or hypocritically.
Yeah, exactly.
Appreciate your call.
Okay, yeah, thanks a lot, Hank. That helps a lot.
Okay, and I'm going to try to sneak one more call in. Mary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my phone call. I had a question for you. I my mom had passed, and me and my sisters flew down, and she was awake and alert, and then all of a sudden, you know, a few days later, she went unconscious and wasn't responsive, but still had a heartbeat, still was breathing, not very well, but breathing, and I don't want to get into all the circumstances, but the night before I had stayed and my other two sisters went to a hotel, and My other sister had a boyfriend there, and I don't know what was going on, but I was very fearful of my life, and
You know, Mary, you got to get to the point quickly. I'm so sorry because I'm almost out of time. I only have...
Oh, okay. Okay, so my question is, when the person is unconscious, are they... Can their spirit, like, just see what's going on in the room? Or once they leave unconsciousness, do they go right to be with the Lord? Like,
no, you know, when someone is in a coma state or an unconscious state, they may well be aware of what's going on, though they can't communicate. And by the way, absent from the body, present with the Lord, doesn't mean that we're not still a body that can communicate. We can ask those who have gone on before, even after the body and soul are separated, to pray for us, just as we ask people in this time space continue to pray for us. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answers Men broadcast. Tomorrow, special edition, Halloween, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.